Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The text we are examining is a text about self-examination, but it raises other issues, particularly the doctrine of election, because it couches the admonition to self-examination in terminology that involves the doctrine of election. When Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure," he not only is admonishing us to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, to use the language that Paul does in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, but he does so in terminology that refers to the doctrine of election, that controversial doctrine of election that all of us need to wrestle with and come to an understanding of if we're going to understand the whole counsel of God. And so we have, on the one hand, a somewhat controversial admonition to self-examination, but an even more controversial reference to the doctrine of election. And that, therefore, makes this text extremely interesting, extremely intriguing, mysterious in many ways, and extremely important. I think you would agree. And so we continue our examination of 2 Peter 1:10 on this Friday, November 7, as we gather together around the Word of God, and do so because some of you help us financially to do exactly that. Thank you so very, very much. Well, this is a serious exhortation. Be diligent. Be even more diligent. Be diligent to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so forth, but even be more diligent to make your call and election sure. And thus we are thrust into the Bible doctrine of election. We are thrust into the enigma in reconciling the doctrine of God's sovereignty along with the doctrine of man's responsibility in regard to salvation, as well as in regard to other areas of response to the commands of God. These are mysterious. They are difficult at times. Sometimes they are exceedingly difficult. They were to me at one time. They certainly don't seem to be to me anymore, having wrestled through this a long, long, long time ago and coming and having come to what I eventually, slowly, gradually, eventually became convinced is the true teaching of God's Word, then the Bible opened up in a wonderful way, and these doctrines just became more clear, more powerful, more enlightening to me, and sometimes I just think they are to everyone, but then I remember, well, there was a time when I struggled with this. So I'm undoubtedly talking to some people who are struggling with this at this time in your life. But we have this terminology and these concepts very clearly in this verse. Make your call, that's the divine summons, your call and election is a choice, And in this case, it's God's choice of you. What else could it be? Make your call and election sure. Peter's writing to Christians, or at least people who profess to be, and most of whom no doubt truly are, but some of whom may not be. That's why there is this admonition. Make sure that your profession of faith is genuine, that it's real, but this is the language Peter uses. Make your call and election sure or certain. And I say again, what is election? We know what that word means when we're talking in political terms. Every so often, we have an opportunity as American citizens to go to the polls and make a choice. We call that an election because people are choosing. They are making choices. I had an interesting occasion in a recent election in my area to be told by the election official that the particular election, which was actually a runoff election for a primary, that I was not in the right district for that. And I thought, that's strange. I'm quite sure I have been voting for the candidate that's being replaced many times before. I'm quite certain that I did, but surely the election official knows more about it than I do, so I didn't give it a lot of thought. I had actually tried to take care of it in early voting and was turned away at the elections office. So election day arrives, and I think it doesn't apply to me. And my wife received a phone call from a campaign worker for a particular candidate in this runoff election. And she said, I've noticed that you haven't voted yet. They're keeping good track. And these are all open records, and anybody can do this. Though it takes a well-organized campaign for this sort of activity to occur. And she said, I noticed you haven't voted yet. The polls are still open. There's still time. And my wife actually called me. I was still at church, and she said, we received this call from the campaign worker, and she said that we are absolutely in that district, and there's still time to vote. And I said, well, I'll do it. I'll vote on the way home. There's time yet. I'll be a little late, but the polls are open till 7:30, so I'll be home by then or a little after. And I went by, and I made my choice. And I voted for the candidate that recognized that I hadn't voted yet and certified that I was eligible to vote. And I went to the polling place, and sure enough, I had no trouble voting. I don't know what was going on in the elections office. Some people, of course, would immediately suspect some kind of skullduggery going on because there's a lot of that that takes place in politics. But I think, personally, that this just was an honest mistake by an employee that hadn't been there very long. But whatever it was, the idea is that in an election, you are making choices. Well, in this election, God is making choices. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. But this isn't your call in the sense that you are calling someone, it's the sense that you have been called. And this isn't your election in the sense that you have chosen something, it is in the sense that God has chosen you. That's why you are called the elect of God, the chosen of God. Now, the fact of the matter is, if you are one of the elect of God, then you have made a choice. I'm not saying there is no human decision. I'm just saying that the Bible indicates that my choice followed his choice. My decision followed his. The reason I have chosen Christ is because he first chose me. The reason I made a decision to follow Christ is because he made a decision in eternity past that I would become one of his followers. It's very similar to the doctrine of divine love. And the Bible tells us we loved him. Why? Because he first loved us. He doesn't love me because I decided to love him. I decided to love him. I was drawn into a loving relationship with him because he first chose to love me. He set his love upon me in eternity past. And therefore, he called me to himself. And therefore, I now recognize that I am one of the elect of God, realizing that I am because he chose me, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us. Well, these are truths that Christians should know and understand and believe. Peter assumes that they do. The Christians of his day didn't have as much trouble with that as so many of the Christians of our day do. This was just common terminology, common language, common concepts that Peter understood. And the Christians he was writing to understood. He didn't have to explain the doctrine of election or defend the doctrine of election. He didn't get all in consternation about it like a lot of people do in our day. To him, it was just a truth that everybody understood. If God is God, if God is sovereign, it has to be this way. And so we're not focusing upon the doctrine in the sense that we're having to defend it, but we're focusing on it in this sense, that if you are a Christian, and if you are, obviously, you claim to be one of God's elect, that's just assumed by Peter. If you're a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian, then you understand that the reason you're a Christian is because you are one of the elect of God, because God chose you. You understand that. That's true of all Christians. And if you're a believer, that's what you're claiming for yourself. But there are some people who claim to be a Christian, but they're not. They claim to be chosen by God, but they're not. So, you better be certain. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Now, one of the clearest texts in the Bible about the doctrine of election is found in 2 Thessalonians 3, 13 and 14, where Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now there it is. All the things that I have just said are contained in that verse. Two verses, actually. "We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." These are ones who were loved with an everlasting love. "Because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation." That text clarifies so many of the ambiguities that people raise and argue about and use to try to in some way deny or to soften what they think are the sharp edges of this doctrine of election. But it couldn't be clearer here. God chose you when? From the beginning. Not chose you after you chose him, or chose you because he knew you would choose him. But no, this is the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of salvation. The beginning of your salvation. This is what comes first. From the beginning, God chose you. And because he chose you, then you chose him in time, but he chose you in eternity from the beginning. Chose you for what? For salvation. Through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. This is why you believe, is because God chose you for salvation. It couldn't be clearer than that. Think on these things, and we'll come back again on Monday. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.